I would like this morning just to read Psalm number 1. I was musing on this about 1 o'clock this morning, so some things I've enjoyed a few weeks ago and other things I've enjoyed a few hours ago. Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And may the Lord this morning bless his word to your hearts and ours. I would like, at the time that is at my disposal, to speak to you concerning the happy man that is seen in the book of the Psalms. And at the beginning of another year, what else can we say but what the elder wrote to Gaius? May thou prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I think that would be the best way to wish the Lord's people a good new year. In Psalm number 1, we have brought before us the concentration and consistent continuance of the blessed man. It says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, not spasmodically, but day and night. In Psalm 32, we have brought before us something else concerning the blessed man. What does it say? Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity and in whose spirit there is no guile. And as I viewed that psalm, it seems to me that here we have not only the covering of sin, but thank God we've got the confession of it and then the cancellation of it. Now I wonder if we are all in the good of the truth of the 32nd Psalm, that our transgressions are forgiven, our sins are covered, and the Lord will never impute iniquity to us, and we shall all be able to sing together, O joy of the justified, joy of the free, I'm washed in that crimson tide open for me. In Christ my Redeemer, rejoicing I stand, and point to the print of the nail in his hand. And then in Psalm 65, we have something else concerning the blessed man. And there it says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. And then further on in that verse it says, we will be glad in thy house. And there we have brought before us the choosing and the contentment of the happy man and the happy woman, the happy brother, the happy sister. Isn't it nice to know we have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world? And we have been caused to approach unto him. And surely we are satisfied with the goodness of the house of the Lord, with the goodness of his temple. And then when we come to the 84th Psalm, we have something else in relation to the blessed man. What does it say? Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways. There I can see the competence and the courage and the course of the blessed man, no matter, though the road may be rough, but it cannot be long. So we'll journey on singing the conqueror's song. But then when you come to the 94th Psalm, it says there, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest and teacheth out of thy law. And there we have, in relation to the blessed man, of course that applies also to our dear sisters. There we have the chastening and the counseling of the blessed man. So that be as it may, I want to speak to you now from Psalm number 1. And you see, we have first of all in verse 1 it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Here we have brought before us the separate living of the godly man and the godly woman. If I may put it this way, we have brought before us life with a difference. And I would like to say this to our young brethren and sisters. You see, when you and I were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, there were many things came into our possession. Could I mention a few of them? And you will agree with me then, this is new life in Christ, and it's life with a difference. What is? Well, the moment we were born again, we entered a new family. And we can say, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. But we not only entered a new family, but we began to enjoy a new fellowship. And our fellowship today is with the Father and the Son and with one another. And furthermore, we began to eat new food, as we shall see very shortly. And that would remind us of 1 Peter chapter 2, from about verse 1 to 3. And then, of course, as this psalm beautifully brings before us, we begin to exhibit new features. And what are the new features? You see them here in this beautiful psalm. Sometimes we sing, you know, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. My dear brother and sister, the only way that I can know how the beauty of Jesus morally will be seen in me or in you is by beholding him. And we, beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Lord the Spirit. And furthermore, by reading the good word of God. But we not only exhibit new features, but my young brother and sister, because we have new life in Christ and it's life with a difference, we encounter new foes. You see, the world's against us. The flesh within us is against us, and the devil's against us. But never mind. Greater is he that is in you and me than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God indwells every child of God. And of course, furthermore, we exercise a new faith. Isn't that true? Hebrews tells us this, chapter 12, without faith, chapter 11, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And finally, and it's in Psalm number 1, we expect a new future. We've been called by the God of glory unto eternal glory. So my young brother and sister, if you want to enjoy the happiness that's seen in the blessed man from the Psalms, go in and possess your possessions. Life with a difference. You see, here we have brought before us bad counsel, which leads to bad ways and ends in bad company. But I would say, listen to the counsel of Christ. Be led in the course of Christ. And love the companionship of Christ. Mary said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. The Savior said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So my brother and sister, I would remind you again of further words of your Lord and mine. Matthew 7, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. You see, obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So therefore, pay attention to the counsel of your Lord. And he has left us the course to follow. Be led in the course of our blessed Lord. He's led us, and he's left us an example. We should follow his steps. 1 John 2 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And then, how lovely to enjoy the companionship, the communion, and communications from our blessed Lord. You remember the two in John 1, when they heard John the Baptist say, behold, the Lamb of God. They left John and followed him. What was the result? They asked the Lord, where dwellest thou? He says, come and see. I tell you, they were different men after they had spent so many hours with the Lord. And you and I will be different. If we go in and possess our possessions, enjoy the sweet companionship and communion, and Mary-like sitting at the feet of our Lord, listening to his word. Life with a difference. But we come down a little bit further. It's not only life with a difference. It's a separate living life. The late Mr. St. John once said this, you know. He says, separation from breeds Pharisees. Separation unto the Lord breeds Nazarites. And it's lovely to go in for the true separation, and it breeds Nazarites. What about then the next verse? Here we have not only a separate living Christian, but we have a scripture-loving Christian. And there are many things underneath this. What does it say? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Here's life with a delight. When I say the scripture-loving Christian, well, we must be all that today or we wouldn't be here. I'll tell you, I would rather thrill the Lord's people than thrash the Lord's people. The great thing in life is this, when we come to this lovely book, never take it up as a battlefield, always use it as a harvest field. What does it say there? Here's life with a delight. What did the psalmist say in the 119th psalm? Oh, how I love thy law. He delighted in it and meditated all the day. And surely that could be said of each one of us today. Oh, how we love the law of the Lord. And we delight to meditate upon it day and night. It was Jeremiah who said, thy word was found and I did eat it. And it was unto me. You know, this is a personal experience, my brother and sister. And it's a personal enjoyment. And it was unto me, what, the joy and rejoicing of my heart. It's nice, you know. And the psalmist said again in the 119th psalm, I rejoice in thy law as one that findeth great spoil. My young brother and sister, do you love, do you delight to read the Bible? A father said to his son once, you know, the more you read your Bible, the more you'll want to read it. And the less you read your Bible, the less you want to read it. But this is life with a delight. To delight in the law of the Lord. I remember reading the testimony of a young man who was born in America. His mother was a godly woman. And she brought her son up to revere and read the Bible. But to him he said this. The Old Testament seemed to him like 39 pieces of granite. The New Testament seemed to him like 27 blocks of alabaster. And there it formed into a lovely temple, what we would call the temple of truth. But to him it was cold and tenantless. But one day the Lord spoke to him, and he got gloriously saved. And then he heard, as it were, the voice of God saying to him, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I would halt a moment and just tell you what the late Guy King said concerning that lovely birth. He says, you know, in that text, you have a master well pleased, a work well done, and a Bible well used. I thought that was lovely. Well, this young man then, after he got converted, he had the delight and the desire for the word of God. So giving his testimony, this is what he said. He entered at the portico of Genesis, and he read and reveled in wonderful things through the Pentateuch. Then he entered the art gallery of the historical books of the Old Testament, and he saw the portrait of Joshua and Caleb and Gideon and Barak and Deborah and many others. And he left the art gallery of the Old Testament. And he went into the music room of the Psalms. And he heard the sweet lofty strains that thrilled his soul. And he bowed his head in worship. And he left the music room of the Psalms and entered the council chamber of the book of the Proverbs and listened to the wise man giving counsel to young men and women. And then he left the council chamber room of the Proverbs and entered into the chapel room of the book of Ecclesiastes And he listened to the wise old preacher, choosing acceptable words to deliver his message. And he left the chapel room and went in to the observatory of the Song of Solomon. And he says he came out fragrant because he had been there smelling the fragrance of the rose of Sharon, and he was enraptured with the lily of the valley. He left there and went into the observatory of the major prophets and the minor prophets. And he saw small telescopes and large telescopes, but everyone was pointing to the bright and morning star. So he left the Old Testament and he entered the audience chamber of the king. And he saw the king from four different angles. And after that, he said, he went into the executive room of the Spirit of God and the Acts of the Apostles, and he listened to the Spirit of God giving his orders to this servant and that servant, telling them where to go, what to say, and how to say it. Then he left there, he said, and went into the correspondence rooms of a Paul, a Peter, a James, a Jude, and a John. They were sitting at their desks, as it were, sending out personal letters and other letters to various assemblies. Then he said he went into the throne room of the book of the Revelation, and he saw the majesty and the might of him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And from that day, he said he went into each room, and he saw beauties and glories of his Lord and Savior that thrilled his soul. Yes, it's life with a delight. But it's not only life with a delight. And the reason why it's life with a delight, because it's life with a desire. We're all here today just to hear a word from the Lord, just to encourage us at the commencement of 1974. Well, as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. But it's not only life with a desire, but it's life with a direction. And again we turn to the 119th Psalm. It's nice to be directed in your ways by the Word of God. What does it say? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Young brethren and sisters, whatever else you may be young men and women of the book. Be directed by the Word of God. So you see, it's also life with a direction, but it's more than that. It's life with a digest. You know, this is becoming a lost art. The art of meditation, the art of musing and thinking over, or if you care, chewing the cud. I remember I was in Skibbereen many years ago. I went into this young man's shop. He was in the assembly. They said to me, "You have a good memory." I says, "Just for some things." But I says, "Young man," I says, "you know every article in this shop?" He says, "I do." I says, "You know the price of each article?" He says, "I do." Now I says, "You applied your mind to that." I says, "Do the same with the Word and you'll get the same results." And it's a great thing, you know, just to meditate on the good Word of God. That's to ponder things, to chew the cud, to think well over what you have read. What's the use of going out and bringing home something? Been out in the game and brought in a hare or a rabbit or something else, but it's no earthly use unless you roast it. You see, Ruth, after she gleaned in the fields of Boaz, she beat it out. And it's nice, you know, just to make it part and parcel of yourself. That's what the young men in 1 John 2 did. I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong. You've overcome the wicked one. The word of God abideth in you. The great thing is, get it in when you're young. I never forget what a dear brother was once asked. How is it you know so much? Well, he says, I'll tell you the secret. I banked it when I was young, and I'm drawing the credits when I'm old. And I would say to you young brethren and sisters, bank it when you're young and your mind's fresh, and you'll draw the credits when you're old. Well, you see, it's a scriptural loving mind, and these are the things associated with it. But then, you see, the next thing is this: he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, what is this? Well, this is a strong-looking man. Nice to be planted. And here I see life with a dignity. After all, there's not much dignity in chaff, is there? The wind driveth it away. But it's nice to be established, and established in divine principles. Not to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. No, no. This is life with a dignity. And it's nice, you know. And even on the platform, when one ministers the word, never to be a yes, yes man. What you say, say it anywhere. And say it to the glory of God and in the fear of God. But then there are things underneath this. What is it? You have not only life with a dignity. We had a lovely brother gave a message last night at the Assembly Social in Selkirk Street. And he just took the few remaining verses of the 92nd Psalm. The righteous shall flourish as a palm tree, and grow like the cedar. They that are planted in the house of the Lord. Well, they couldn't have better soil, could they? He says, that class of people will bring forth fruit in their old age. And more than that, they will show that God is righteous. And he gave to us a beautiful message. In simple language, as it's seen now in verse 3, what's seen in Psalm 22, there was establishment. And there was enlargement. And there was enrichment. And there was the evergreen leaf. Oh yes, life with a dignity. But it's not only life with a dignity. And here we have brought before us not only the stateliness. It's nice to have some stateliness about you. But it says furthermore, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now this is not only what we have already said, but this is a seasoned laden Christian. He bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And it's nice when each one of us are marked by the fruit of the Spirit that is seen in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, and against such there is no law. And oh, my brother and sister, this is something that grows noiselessly. And it grows, at least it should grow naturally. And it will then grow nicely in your life and our life. And so it's nice to be a seasoned, laden Christian. But then, We have not only brought before us here in relation to life with a dignity, that they are a seasoned, laden Christian, but a spiritual, lovely Christian. His leaf shall not fade. It's nice to be fresh. It's nice always to be ready to pass on to others a word from the Lord. You know, there's nothing worse than meeting a wilted Christian. You know, those dear brethren and sisters, and we're really sorry for them, but when you meet them, they're just about as dry as dust. But not the one in Psalm number 1, no, no. Their leaf shall not fade, ever fresh, ever green. And whatsoever he doeth, or she doeth, shall prosper. You see, friend, this is life with a duty. Oh yes, not only life with a dignity, but life with a duty. And what is the duty? Whatsoever he doeth, or she doeth, shall prosper. Here we have, as I see it in this lovely psalm, the successful laboring Christian. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, in that lovely text, you see, we have words of endearment. And then we have words of exhortation. And then we have words of encouragement. You in your small corner, and I in mine, your labor and our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So there's life with a duty. And after all, you see, we've all got a niche to fill. I never forget, and I say this for the benefit of our dear sisters. A dear sister in Belfast, she was one of the leading sisters in the missionary sewing class. And there were a dear old sister come along and, well, she says, I can't do very much, but I can hold a cut of wool. Because her eyes were bad. So she held the cut of wool, but she got despondent. Oh, she says, there's no use of me coming at all. That's all I can do. Well, she says, my dear sister, if you stop coming, somebody else that can sew and knit will have to put down the needles and hold the cut of wool. Well, that dear old sister held the cut of wool until the Lord took her home. And then another old sister came in. She says, my eyes are very poor, but I'll just do what the other sister did. I can hold a cut of wool. Surely they'll be remembered at the judgment seat of Christ as the old sister who held a cut of wool at the missionary sewing class. You see, he gave to everyone, whether brother or sister, something to do. Finally, life with a destiny. You see, my brother and sister, we're homeward bound for glory. And it'll just be like that, you know. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be there before we know we are. But we will be there. And praise the Lord, we'll all be there. Well, it says, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Not at all. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We stand in grace today. The day is coming when we'll stand in the glory. And we'll be with him. And we'll be like him. And we'll behold him face to face. What will it be? Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture we behold him. Jesus Christ who died for you and me on yonder tree.